This is DW News, and these are our top stories. Burkina Faso's government has called for calm after soldiers staged a mutiny on Sunday. The troops are demanding more support in their fight against armed groups. They're also calling for the current military leaders to resign. Hundreds of protesters gathered to show their support for the soldiers. Some burnt and looted the headquarters of the ruling party. Military aid is arriving in Kyiv from the US, Poland, Britain and other democracies as Ukraine faces a threat of a possible new invasion by Russia. Germany has so far refused to supply aid but is coming under pressure from its allies to take a stand as Russia gathers military forces along Ukraine's borders. Moscow says it has no plans to launch an attack. Belgian police have fired tear gas and used water cannons to disperse crowds demonstrating against COVID-19 measures. Tens of thousands took to the streets of Brussels after an announcement that people will need booster shots to gain access to some indoor venues. You're watching DW News. You can find much more on our website, dw.com.
I'm almost there. All that's left is this mountain pass. This time I'm going to be pretty high up in the Engadin. That's a valley in the Swiss Alps, and it's my very first time.
Winter always arrives a little earlier in the year here. The mountains in the Engadin are already covered with snow. The lakes, located about 1800 meters above sea level, have not yet frozen over. My destination is St. Moritz, a place that stands for winter tourism like no other.
It's pretty cold up here in the Engadin, and in order to warm up every now and then, I have planned some activities. All variations of winter sports, on the slopes, on the cross-country ski run, and on a bike. I also want to find out how and why tourists have discovered the Engadin in Switzerland.
Even German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche loved to get away from it all in the Engadin. And because we're in Switzerland, we just have to show you one of its most famous landmarks, the Matterhorn. And I'll sample some local specialties, like Engadin nut cake and cheese fondue. St. Moritz used to be a simple farming village. But today, you see massive hotels and shop windows with luxury items. It is still pretty quiet before the destination's peak season. Tour guide Susi Wieprechtiger explains to me that winter tourism was the result of a bet between the hotel owner Johannes Badrut and a group of four summer travelers from England.
He made a bet with the English guests. He said, come to St. Moritz in the winter, and if you don't like it, I'll pay for your trip from London to St. Moritz and back. And if you like it, you can stay at my hotel for free as long as you'd like.
He won the bet?
Yes.
And they had to pay. As a result, St. Moritz became a popular travel destination in wintertime too. Five luxury hotels are spread across the Alpine Resort, which is home to about 5,000 residents. Susi shows me one of the oldest preserved houses, a typical Engadin farmhouse from 1658.
I'll explain the architecture a bit more. Here, the traditional houses were built with really thick walls to keep out the cold. And you can see that the windows are set back slightly.
Why?
to keep the warmth inside and yet still allow sufficient daylight in. And then we have individual windows that have grates in front of them. They're proof that the Saracens were here. If you go to an Arab country like Morocco or Tunisia today, you'll see filigree window grates like this everywhere.
Oh, by the way, there's also a Leaning Tower in St. Moritz. The remnant of the St. Mauritius Church stands on an unstable slope and has to be secured again and again. St. Moritz consists of two districts. An escalator takes you comfortably from St. Moritzdorf, or village, down to St. Moritzbad, or spa. On the walls you can see photos with motifs from winter sports history. International competitions take place in this Swiss mountain town regularly. Even the St. Moritz Lake is used in winter for a rather unusual event, a polo tournament. And this lake is guaranteed to be frozen over every year so that horses can walk on it.
Yes, in December we need about a week of minus 30 degree temperatures every night, ideally without any wind, and then it freezes over nicely. It'll be covered in about a half meter to 1 meter of snow. The ice isn't too slippery, since there's snow on top. So far it's always been cold enough. Like today, it's quite brisk.
Your eyes are tearing up from the cold. Well, thank you very much for taking the time today.
My pleasure. Come back anytime.
Well, I noticed St. Moritz is a pretty cold place in winter, so exercise is required, and right now I'm going cross-country skiing.
First, I'm going to take your poles away, so we can start off together. Here in Switzerland, we say that everyone always has a chocolate foot, one that's a bit better than the other. Which is yours?
I'd say the right one.
The right one. Then we'll put on your left ski.
Okay.
Now you're more or less fully attached. The heel remains free in cross-country skiing.
Beim Langlaufen.
Be careful with the extended leg.
Okay.
Right side, bend your knee and ankle, and then let yourself fall forwards like a board onto the left ski. First step is the hardest. Again, bend down on the right, look ahead, and let yourself fall forward. Very good. Now I'll give you these two rings to hold, and you'll keep looking ahead. When the left ski moves forward, the right hand comes up. Take really small steps at first. Lift.
Da. Mann. Das gibt's doch nicht.
I don't understand why this is so difficult. All I have to do is stay in my lane.
Nur in der Bahn fahren. Das gibt's doch nicht.
Good job.
This must look totally stupid.
Very nice.
After I finally get going, I can't help but challenge Heinz. How about a little race?
Catch me if you can.
Yeah, I can.
The trail also serves as a training route for young athletes.
This is so exhausting. I'm sweating so much that my clothes are soaked.
But once you get the hang of it, it's a ton of fun gliding over the snow, especially with a backdrop like this.
Eins, zwei, drei, go! Sehr gut, perfekt.
Super. Later, I'll hit the downhill slopes, but first, it's time for a break and some refreshments. The Engadin is also renowned for its sweet treats. The master confectioners from the Engadin have made a name for themselves as far as Venice. I try a piece of the famous Engadin nut cake. It's made out of short crust pastry and filled with roughly chopped caramelized walnuts. It's very tasty and the perfect way to refuel.
All right, before I go skiing, let me show you a Swiss national symbol, the Matterhorn, one of the most famous mountains in the world.
With its striking summit, the Matterhorn has long been a symbol of Switzerland and the power of nature. Previously considered unconquerable due to its menacing height and dangerous slopes, the mountain has claimed the lives of many climbers. The first ascent was finally made in 1865. That history is documented here at the Matterhorn Museum in Zermatt, at the foot of the mountain. Museum director Eddie Schmid tells how the climb of Matterhorn pioneer Edward Whymper ended in disaster when four members of his team, including mountaineer Michel Kroos, fell to their deaths.
Whymper was determined to be the first to reach the top. He detached himself from the rope and arrived first. That was certainly a triumph in his mountaineering career. But during the descent, these seven heroes became four tragic heroes. Because you might say, the fall that occurred in that split second instantly catapulted them from being heroes to dead men. And that was incredibly bitter.
And possibly negligent too, since the ambitious Whymper was alleged to have cut the rope that would have secured Michel Kroos.
Putting one and one together, you could deduce that Whymper cut the rope to get past Kroos, but he never admitted it.
That triumph and tragedy was later portrayed in several films, including The Mountain Calls, which can also be seen at the museum. Along with St. Moritz, Zermatt is among Switzerland's most famous vacation destinations in wintertime, even if its striking mountain peak isn't always visible.
It has a very special shape. As a famous French mountain climber once said, if